Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to my dog psychology radio show. My name is Dan McCluskey. And on this show, this is part three of my Christmas story series, I'll call it, titled Finding Your Identity. And my goal here in these few shows is to, as we approach the Christmas season, is to honor God by showing some, pointing towards some profound truth for people. And my hope is that people will open their eyes and their minds and their hearts during this season to start to look at perhaps there's more to life than what is right in front of us from what, you know, what we think is we're finding identity and fulfillment through. And it comes down to the issue of hope. And the same goes true with dogs. I show that, you know, and this is why it's very profound for me, and there's depth here, and this what I do with, you know, with my relationship with dogs is over the years, it's profound for me. It represents something a lot deeper, you know, and there's things within the relationship itself that, as I talk through these shows, I think that you're going to find is very meaningful. It's very deep, and I don't believe it's an accident at all or a coincidence. Some of these things that that are happening in through the relationship. If you look at what really takes people's legs out, and how many people are absolutely deceived, and things that are totally upside down. Should cause people to pay attention. I don't believe that this is at all a coincidence. How somebody like me, who is, I say I'm a nobody as it relates to people trying to, you know, promote their education and all this stuff. I'm telling you something, it's amazing to me, nature. But there's some significant things here that parallel, you know, our relationship or if you look at you know, God's word and who He really is, it sets up a encounter. It sets up a decision point, and just like this does too, it really does with dogs. It sets up a decision point, just like science itself. You talk about science, very interesting. What you see, or science itself is God. I mean, it's, you know, this is why people get into this thing about ultimately the big question. And it happens even in dog training. It's amazing the comments I get. You know, I can choose to ignore all of it. But, you know, but I don't engage or try not to engage in a certain level of debate, because it really is about, you know, belief. Even this whole thing about the so-called science of dog training, it's a belief system. It's not science. And then that goes to the question itself, what is science? I mean, you know, and because it's relational. That's the thing people have to understand. It's about a relationship. Just like God Himself, I mean, He desires a relationship with us, a personal relationship. So people who, you know, use science to kind of try to debate and argue, there's a lack of honesty and integrity and all that, because it's not about, you know, because God, look at God in defining who He is, because He desires a relationship. Ultimately, that's something that we have to want. So, you know, when you look at this thing about people who are trying to argue and debate and, you know, prove that there's no God, what are they doing? I mean, that's my, you know, if ultimately they're suffering from a identity crisis, because God is, you know, this is the thing about people trying to push God out of the public arena. You can't do that. I mean, it's impossible. God's everywhere. So, you know, sooner or later, we all have to face up to the reality. And the thing I find very ironic and funny almost is the fact of the people who are arguing about, a lot of atheists and people are arguing about, no God. My question is, where is your hope in? I mean, you know, you can say, well, when you die, there's nothing. I believe that genetically, how we're made in the image of God, that, you know, people are being honest, that's you know, that goes right against, you know, what our inner self is telling us. I mean, why do you think there's so many religions and people seeking answers at some level or trying to invest their identity in certain things, which even this issue of idolatry, because we're spiritual beings. I mean, God created us that way because, his design is such that he desires a relationship, so there's a natural, built in. It's like a built-in type of thing that we're going to be seeking to fill that void, seeking a relationship that way. This is why, us as human beings, I mean, you see people who isolate themselves, they end up going crazy because or have issues because, we're relational beings. This is why it's profound. Through dogs are relational beings as well. So this is why if you go right back into, in the book I wrote about Skinner and Pavlov, one of the experiments where Skinner, they're having difficulty with the dog that they were using in the experiment because the dog wanted to come into the room, was trying to stay with the assistant. I mean, they had to remove the assistant from the area because it was interfering in their test they're setting up. They're trying to make this a very abstract thing. But right there, that the pull of that. Think about the pull of the dog, the desire to attach to a person, and like that person was expressing some type of leadership, and so the dog was identifying with that. But right there, there's your first clue before anything even got started that this is all going to be problematic. I mean, this is, if you go right back, and it's amazing, I mean, because Skinner and Pavlov never looked at dogs relationally that way at all. I go right back and say, you got problems right from the start because they never studied dogs that way. So why do you think there's problems right from that point back in, I think it was 1922 or whatever, I put that in my book, until 2015, it's never stopped. It's gotten worse. And because you're looking at an issue of a relational issue here. And so even through this connection, how people connect with dogs, it's a decision point, okay? It's a shared connection. So therefore, all these things that are happening, even with people are not in, I talk about not in being in right relationship, how a dog's decision-making process is governed, there's a surrendering process as well. You cannot... People who try to, and this is what happened back with behavioralism, they tried to basically change the rules. They tried to redefine the relationship. But the ironic thing is, it's still relational. It's all about the people. It's not about the dog. Okay, so it's very almost, if so many dogs weren't getting killed, it almost would be funny at some level because it's a sad situation. But getting to this of this mess of these things within the relationship, if you look at the things I show that are very deep and profound, and I talk about this on these shows because there is there's a lot here. I mean, there's things here that will basically blow your mind if you really start to go deeper, but the issue with going deeper is every time you go deeper, it forces a trade-off because nature demands everything. Now, that's the thing people have to understand is when I help people, okay, you can't build on a cracked foundation. There has to be a trade-off. I mean, they have to come to the end of their own thinking and reasoning because that's the problem is people's emotions and how they're failing to reconcile them. But again, it's all about a journey, and again, this is kind of dovetail into the Christmas story because, again, it's the same type of journey that parallels finding real, seeking real answers and real truth and ultimately hope. We talk about atheism and people who try to argue down, try to change the name of a Christmas tree into a holiday tree. As a Christian, I mean, people get really upset about that, but I'm going to read a verse here that's going to encourage people, especially if you're a Christian, to kind of look at things different. And, there was a movie I saw last year, it got a lot of bad reviews. I mean, it's Kirk Cameron's movie, it's about Christmas. It's Christmas Hope, get the name of it right off, but it's all about this. It's about people get so caught up in a certain way of thinking that they end up losing sight of or perspective of what it really is about and your real identity. If your identity is secure in Christ, if Jesus is the one doing the saving, okay, then we don't have anything to worry about. I mean, that's the thing. We don't have to get overly mad or angry or frustrated. I've been there at times. That's why you see me taking up and down some videos where I'm calling people out and stuff. But again, that's a waste of time at a certain point. That just gets me frustrated because ultimately you're trying to, shake things up a little to get people to look at what's true. But then I even question my own motives. Am I doing it because I'm being prideful? Am I doing it because I want to be successful that way? Am I doing it for... And so I have to reevaluate what I'm doing, and ultimately I take them down because it's like, well, no, it's not. It shouldn't be about that. It's got to be about helping one person at a time. And this whole issue about the big picture, it's a problem because it is. It's relational. It's not just the fact about seeing what I show. I mean, what I show people and talk about dogs as relational beings and how this translates into behavior issues, it's very difficult for people to see it because it is a relational issue. It's a issue that's tied into people's emotions. And people have to go beyond just the appearance of things. But there's a scripture here. I'm going to read it. It's in 2 Corinthians 4, 8-12. And it comes from a letter written by Paul to the church in Ephesus. And it's an encouraging verse. I love this verse. It's one of my favorite verses. He's talking here about his faith. He's talking about how this translates into how the world sees, a follower of Christ and how to respond to that when persecution, when people are not happy, so to speak. How that, and this translates again, this whole series of talking about identity, how this affects or how you need to see your identity. And it starts the verse, I'm going to read it. It says, "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies, so we will live in the face of Jesus, face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you." So here Paul's just talking about the response of problems, of, how people, if you're, people are really, there's a lot of anti-Christian sentiment right now. I talk about trying to change the season into, a holiday season. But that shouldn't take away, in fact, that shouldn't take away your joy if you know who Christ really is. And that's the difference here. And this is what I talk about identity. If, for example, I talk about this to people I know. If I may be falling, I may be struggling, I may be going through whatever, but I don't try to change Jesus or God into someone he's not. I don't try to make it some convenient truth for me. Because the point is, how am I supposed to know that I'm even separated from God or I'm having a identity crisis or I'm out of right relationship if I'm trying to turn Christ into someone he's not? So I'm saying and I use this a lot, I said, let Christ be Christ. And let the word be what defines who he is and his Holy Spirit. He lives in and through us. You cannot grieve the Holy Spirit, which means that you start to twist and turn things, and then that's a problem. And even in this scripture, once you do actually know who Jesus really is and your identity is secure in him, then you can take that pressure. I mean, still have that joy. You're in sync. It's in and through. Christ is in you and through you, so therefore you can take the pressure and still have joy, which translates into other people seeing that and say, wow, how does he or she able to still not get frustrated or angry over whatever situation and move forward and offer hope, because they have their identity. They know who's doing the saving. They know their identity is secure because of how they walk out their faith, which makes all the difference in the world. So, you know, seeing, you know, when you look at a scripture such as this, a scripture like this can really hold you up. And I go back to the scripture many times to kind of reaffirm, you know, my walk and try to gain the right perspective on things, to say, well, you know, I shouldn't be upset over whatever's going on. Whether people want to call a Christmas tree a holiday tree, well, they can do that. I mean, ultimately, the truth is the truth. I don't have to stand up and shout and act like a crazy person. Doesn't mean that as a Christian that we're not to stand up and voice, you know, but God is the quarterback. I mean, he's the one. Ultimately, even if you look at the big picture of things, things are going to happen according to, you know, he's sovereign, so which means that he's ultimately always in control. Even when things look out of control, they aren't actually out of control. He's in control. I mean, you know, we look at Jesus, you know, his ministry and what he went through. He was always in control. Even when things looked out of control, he knew, you know, he knew what was going to happen. In fact, it was very intentional with even his ultimately going to the cross. I mean, he could have called down legions of angels. He made that very clear. He could have put a stop to it, but he did not, because that had to happen for us to have hope to be saved. I mean, he ultimately, his sacrifice is what makes all the difference. I mean, that's ultimately through him. So even here with identity, the scripture again, encourage you to read that or think about that scripture in terms of what's going on, even in terms of Christmas. And then therefore, for me, the Christmas season has more joy. I mean, I can celebrate and really, because I know who Christ really is. I mean, my identity and who I am is through him. So therefore, it has even more special meaning for me. Even in spite of what's going on in the culture, you know, I can still celebrate, because ultimately I know the word. I mean, I know I can stand on it. And even everything that's happening is everything's prophesied, everything, even all the bad stuff, whatever's going on in the world, it's all there. I mean, the Bible is very clear, very accurate. And God gave us, you know, the information. He gave us, you know, the roadmap. And so even when things are happening in the world, we look at Scripture, because there's lots of prophecy. I'll talk about prophecy here in these series of shows a little bit, because there's a scripture I'm going to read in today's show from Isaiah, which is written 700 years before Jesus was born, and that speaks to his coming and what was going to happen, how he's going to be viewed. But it's a powerful scripture, and it all leads into the Christmas story, but also how you talk about this issue of identity, you know, in seeking answers and hope. And again, you know, not getting caught up, because a lot of people don't have the answers. I mean, this is what I say about things aren't going to make sense in a secular way. Things going on in the world, what's happening, there's been so much confusion and so many voices and so many, even this issue about what is a true Christian. You know, you look at this issue of religion. I talked about this on yesterday's show. You know, Jesus encountered the same problem. Came up against the religious system, which doesn't represent being a follower of Christ. I mean, and again, once you really understand the Bible and how even this issue of identity, where Jesus is going to ultimately define the relationship, I mean, he's going to force everybody's, he's going to expose everybody's real motives. Ultimately, people can argue and debate all they want, but sooner or later, it all comes to a head. It ultimately, your motives are going to be exposed. My motives will be exposed, because Jesus is the one. God's the one who is going to define the relationship. He's the one that's going to call you to bluff, and that's it. I mean, there's no, that's going to happen the moment you die, or that's going to happen the day that he comes back. And he calls it the coming back, time, just so people understand. He calls it as a snare. He refers to his coming back as a snare. He said the whole earth would mourn, which means that mourning means that basically they're not happy. I mean, the snare represents the prey being turned upside down. So we talk about these issues even when I talk about dogs and things being upside down. You see how people can be so deceived because even Scripture talks about the heart is wicked above all things. I mean, you can't trust your heart. You can't trust your emotions, basically, is what God's saying, is that your emotions and then these walls we put up, these reasons or these motives that we use to, to try to dismiss God. He's not, the Bible isn't real. It's written by men, going on and on and on. Yeah, but I would encourage you to, I'm going to mention a book here that if you have questions regarding the Christian faith and you have an open mind and you want answers, there's a great book written by a journalist, Lee Strobel. You might want to, make note of that, Lee Strobel. His book's called The Case for Christ. This is an excellent book, The Case for Christ. It also has a video, both video form. In the book, I've read the book, I've watched the videos, they're excellent. But it's for non-believers, it's for people that perhaps have any questions, even about talking about the Bible itself and it being written by men and, the contradictions that that seem to appear in the Bible with certain things. He goes through all of that. The book is excellent, because as a journalist, he actually took the same journey with his faith in terms of his wife. She was a believer, but he approached it, I'll look at this, but I'm going to approach it as a journalist. I'm going to go and I'm going to go through everything. I'm going to talk to all these experts. I'm going to go to certain universities. I'm going to dive into, was Jesus, did he actually rise from the dead? I mean, can that actually be proven? I mean, can that be shown? I mean, there's all the basic questions that people have. So he went as a journalist and spent, I believe it was 2 years researching and going in and just drawing all the evidence, getting all the documents, all those things that, all those things that perhaps questions people have. And he, when he came to a point, again, a decision point, that's what happens, even when you talk about the science of whatever, it brings people to a decision point. Because it can only take you so far. You have to understand, we talk about science or whatever, then there has to be an issue of belief. What are you putting your hope in to that bridge that's going to get you to the other side? And looking at that again, I talk about God desiring a relationship with us. Lee Strobel, he turned his life over to Christ. I mean, but again, talk about, the issue of a relationship. It is about a relationship. This is the thing people have to get beyond. There has to be walls that drop. There has to be, a desire. Otherwise, it's not about relationship. You're out of a relationship, and people can argue and debate all they want. It isn't going to help, you if you don't approach it at least with a certain open mind. You have to have a certain amount of being open-minded. It doesn't mean that you trust or whatever, but you gotta. I mean, if you desire to know, you need to be open-minded. But again, comes to again, an excellent book, Lee Strobel. He has 3 books, but I really highly recommend getting that. It's very easy. It's an easy read. It's not a thick book. I mean, it's thick enough to keep you reading for probably 3-4 days, but definitely has lots of great information in it. But again, getting to this issue of parenting and talking about, how looks can be deceiving, and in terms of talking about who Christ is, I'm going to go through. I'm going to read just quickly here. I'm going to run out of time here in a minute, but I do want to read one scripture in Isaiah that really goes into the issue of identity, into appearances, and thinking about who Christ really is. And it's found in Isaiah 53. This is a prophetic scripture. It was written 700 years before Jesus actually entered the scene. And again, this, if you really listen to the scripture, you know, you'll come to understand why, you know, Jesus, you know, is really, you identify him with it. And it goes on here, says, this is from the New Living Translation. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There is nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous. For he will bear all our sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. So here, this scripture again is written a long time before Jesus came on the scene, but it speaks to Jesus. And when you talk about appearances, here scripture speaks of that, of the fact that he was not esteemed. I mean, he didn't have a beautiful appearance. I mean, he came on the scene, and sometimes I think people, even pictures of God, make him out to be a beautiful, you know, because again, this whole issue about appearances, and talk about depth and what's beyond appearances, and what's really at the heart of man, or what really is underpins appearances and motives. I talk about that in terms of why people can't figure out the issue of response, why dogs respond, and people looking just at the appearance of things. There's no depth. This speaks of that, of the issue of depth. Even, I'll talk about this in my next show, where Jesus, you know, he did come on the scene, both the opposition he encountered, and talking about identity, speaks to the heart of that, you know, the depth of things, you know, what's really, you know, below the what is seen from the surface, you know, what's significant. And Jesus appeared, you know, performing miracles. Ultimately, that wasn't going to, you know, save people. I mean, that got people's attention, but ultimately, it's more than that. So anyway, I'm going to continue my discussion on part four, and again, just following through here, talking both about pointing towards God through the relationship, showing some profound truth here, and also just to kind of, you know, go into the Christmas story a little bit, because ultimately I want to present this as that before during the Christmas season. So anyway, thanks for listening. Hope you have a great day. Take care.